Now that the holiday reading season is in full swing, we celebrate a slate of books destined to be your winter reads, or maybe just to brush up on your knowledge, or, hey, just have some fun. To do so, we check out the shelves of one independent bookstore. Matt Tannenbaum joins us. He's of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, and is here to share with us all the good stuff that he's been ordering and unpacking that may be a perfect treat for someone in your life during these holidays. Matt, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. Nice to see you. Nice to be here.
Always nice to have you with us.
End of the year time, huh?
Yeah, this is where we sort of take stock.
Uh-oh.
What we have, what we don't have, what was good, what was bad, what we may have missed.
I found some books on the shelf that when I compiled the list, I realized that they were all to do with creativity. How's that?
That's you have a topic.
I do.
The theme.
Have I ever had that before? I don't know.
I don't believe that has ever happened.
See if these are, if they fall into the theme. The first one I want to talk about is a new book just came out last week called The Holy or the Broken by Alan Light. Subtitle: Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley, and the Unlikely Ascent of Hallelujah. Do we know the song Hallelujah? It's been around for a lot of years now.
A lot of years.
And so this book gives the background, the story of how it came to be written by Cohen. He wrote it in the early 80s. He finished it around 84, 85. His record company would not allow it to be published. What was the album? I forget the album now. But the Columbia said, no, we don't want this. And the song disappeared. Cohen was sitting in a cafe with Bob Dylan. Dylan said, Leonard, I like that song. Cohen, I like that song. How long did it take you to write that? Oh, about 15 years or so. So how long did it take you to write I and I? Bob said, oh, about 15 minutes. That was fine. Bob became a big fan of Hallelujah, and some say he's the first one to have butchered it in his own inimitable style. It became a hit. John Cale recorded it in the tribute album. This is all described in Light's book, recorded in a tribute album, I'm Your Fan. Jeff Buckley found it. He was housing in an apartment and turned it into this iconic. Buckley was half the age that Cohen was when Cohen wrote it and Buckley recorded it.
Wow.
Cohen looking back, Buckley looking up. And then Rufus Wainwright took it from, I think it was a movie. They used it in the movie Shrek. And then it just catapulted into mass popularity. And the irony there is that Rufus is from, originally from the same town, Montreal, that Cohen was from. That's where I thought the connection came from, but it was an outside connection altogether.
This is, I love books like this.
This is a great story.
Yeah, and
about a story.
And Alan White is a great music writer. I read a lot of his stuff. He's in Vibe magazine and does Rolling Stone.
Does he do Rolling Stone
covers
too?
Good stuff. And Spin magazine. So he's a great writer. It's The Holy or the Broken, Leonard Cohen, Jeff Buckley, and the Unlikely Ascent of Hallelujah. It is published by Atria Books, and there's a big biography about Leonard Cohen out.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I didn't bring that one in. I started looking at that one, and that looks terrific.
We have the author on, but it's a great.
What's her name? Simmons, something like that.
I don't remember.
But yeah. Leonard Cohen. I was in college when Suzanne was released, and that was at the time when you would drive around to visit your old high school buddies who were in different colleges and say, "Do you know this song, Suzanne? I know Suzanne." Everybody knew Suzanne. It was one of those experiences, shared experiences.
I knew her.
Oh, yeah. So the other thing I want to say, last thing I want to say about The Holy of the Broken, or about Hallelujah, is it's, as my daughter Sophie said, it's the Seabiscuit of popular music. This song should never have made it the way it did, and now it's the most popular song ever.
That's great. Well, it sounds like a fascinating book. Alan White is the author of The Holy or the Broken, published by Atria, division of Simon & Schuster.
Simon & Schuster, right. Next up, Daniel Klein. Danny Klein's book travels with Epicurus.
Epicurus.
Epicurus, not Epicurus. Epicurus. He's going to be on the show
soon. He'll be on the show soon, yeah.
And he'll tell you the pronunciation. He told me this pronunciation.
Okay.
And I've been struggling with this pronunciation ever since he told me. So Danny reaches his 70s and looks around and says, this old age is it's different than what it was before. And all his friends, or not all of his friends, but people he knew were trying to slow down that clock, getting dental implants and this and that, and missing the whole point of growing old. And so he goes back to Greece, where he went when he was a young man, and kept going back because Greece is this place that is your place of deep philosophical content. And he writes about, he takes some of the same characters he has in Plato and a Platypus and Hippo and a Heidegger in those philosophy books that he wrote with his co-author Tom Cathcart. And he goes back and he journeyed to a Greek island in search of a fulfilled life.
I think it's Plato, by the way.
Plato. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Here's the book. Don't hit yourself with it.
Yeah. Travels with
Epicurus.
Epicurus. Yeah, I won't remember that either. Matt, tomorrow.
Penguin Books. And Dan, I hope Danny tells you some fun stories about how this book got to be published.
I think usually when Danny's on, that's all he does is tell fun stories. I look forward to that. All right. It's a beautiful book, Journey to a Greek Island in Search of a Fulfilled Life. It is published by Penguin, and Danny Klein is the author, and always fun to read him and to talk with him. So we look forward
Here's
to
another,
that.
And these are all kind of slim or short
manageable
trim size books. They're not these big biographies like David McCulloch, Greater Journey on Paris.
Yeah.
You know, I have another book on France that I was thinking about. Here is Verlin Klinkenborg's new book, Several Short Sentences About Writing. Has he been on?
Yes.
Okay. So Verlin is an old-time Berkshire resident, or now he lives over in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But he used to live in Berkshire County. And he's writing this beautiful these short pieces on how to write short pieces and how important short pieces are. He says on page 67, your job as a writer is making sentences. And then a little later he says, flow is something the reader experiences, not the writer. So he's giving you examples of what to do to make it appear a finished product. These are the inside tips. This is a book on rhetoric. Your sentences, he says, say what you think they say. Whether you are trying to slip one by and maybe you're trying to hide what you really know or don't know, your sentence will betray you.
Words mean things.
There you go, Joe. You know what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Well,
great.
And I can at least play along. Several Short Sentences About Writing is the book. Verlin Klinkenborg is the author. It's published by Knopf, and it's very interesting, and it's exceptionally written, and is an awful lot of fun. And I think for anyone who enjoys reading and enjoys the process of writing, even if you're not a writer yourself, will enjoy the book.
It's you're learning the tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
So even if you're not a writer, you're learning why that sentence that you read in some book 14 years ago made you feel the way you did, and why you remember that sentence. It's because of the way it was written.
Beautiful stuff.
Here is just about one of my favorite books, and it's not brand new. It came out late this spring, Dreaming in French by Alice Kaplan, published by the University of Chicago Press. I've got a couple of notes that I want to look at.
Look at all those pieces of paper. I want you to...
The subtitle is The Paris Years of Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, Susan Sontag, and Angela Davis.
Wow.
Three disparate characters. And the book is not about them as one rich white woman, one disaffected New York intellectual, and one black revolutionary, but it's about their years in Paris and what Paris meant to people. And I mentioned McCulloch's book earlier. McCulloch starts his book in the Greater Journey in the 1830s and goes all the way up to 1901, I think.
Yes,
turn of the century. This book reminded me. Have you ever been to Paris, Joe?
No.
this book reminded me of when I was young and I went to Paris, and why I went to Paris when I was young. And Paris was the place where you go to experience Europe, where you go to experience being outside of America when you are an American.
Yeah.
And these women went. Jackie Kennedy went. Jackie Beauvoir. Later, at the very end of the book, in one of the notes that Alice writes, and Alice Kaplan wrote, her first book was called... It was called French Lessons, about her own time in Paris. And I always meant to read it. I haven't read it yet. I think maybe over Christmas break I'll get a chance to read that.
Now was the
but
time.
Over, what was I saying? When Kennedy, Bouvier goes to Paris, she meets... Well, she was a student at Smith College. It was a junior year abroad, and later at the time of Kennedy's funeral, John Kennedy's funeral, de Gaulle is overheard to have said, "This is a woman of extreme dignity and courage." But mm-hmm. privately, he said to his Interior Secretary André Malraux, "You know, she's destined to wind up married to some Greek millionaire." And when Malraux reminded de Gaulle many years later that that's exactly what happened, de Gaulle didn't remember having said that. So and the pictures in this book also of Jackie, of Angela Davis as a young woman, as Susan Sontag as a young woman walking the streets of Paris, marching in the protest marches, just brought it all back to me. So I said, lovely, lovely. Take a look at that.
Dreaming in French is the name of the book. The Paris Years of Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, Susan Sontag, and Angela Davis. It's published by Chicago, University of Chicago Press. And a beautiful book, Dreaming in French.
What else? Then I have Jana Malamud Smith's book, An Absorbing Errand, How Artists and Craftsmen Make Their Way to Mastery. Jana Malamud Smith is the daughter of the novelist Bernard Malamud, and she's a psychoanalyst, and she her basis is, if you don't understand the inner conflicts, and conflicts is not a bad word, conflicts is what makes you who you are in your mind, if you don't understand, if you misunderstand them, they can, she says in her poetic term, bruise your heart, arrest your effort, and prevent you from staying absorbed in your errand. So this is a psychoanalyst's plea to understand oneself, not to hide from oneself in the creative process, and in the process of discovering, realizing who you are, and making that the authentic basis of your art.
As it says here, each chapter is devoted to a problem intrinsic to the creative process and illustrates how these very obstacles, once understood, can become prime sources of the energy that actually fuels the mastery of art making. That is cool stuff.
Excellent stuff. Excellent.
An Absorbing Errand, How Artists and Craftsmen Make Their Way to Mastery. And it's published by Counterpoint and is written by Jana Malamud Smith.
Last book I have today is a parody cookbook, a big hit at our store, I think a big hit all over the country. If we remember the cultural low point of the summer?
Was it a low point? It was a phenomenon, right?
It was
a cultural phenomenon.
Absolutely, the 50 Shades of Grey. This is 50 Shades of Chicken, a parody in a cookbook, 50 chicken recipes bound to be delicious. These are actual recipes. They are funny. They are interspersed with imagined conversations between the person in the kitchen and the bird in the kitchen. There are great photographs, and it's a lot of fun.
It is.
I don't know if we want to read any of that stuff on air.
Well, probably not. But it's, you know, it's very amusing, and I'll just let people,
Come by and take a look at it.
Make up their own jokes. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, you can go to their website, bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt Tannenbaum, it's always a blast. Thank you very much for being with us.
Did I mention the poetry reading? Do we have a minute for that?
We don't, but I can real quick say that the poetry reading is
Thursday night
at 20. If you go to bookstoreinlenox.com, you can find out everything you need to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Joe.